Number 31 is a part of the issue of prevalidation, as is 32. All humans are valid before they open their mouths to tell you about it. What that really means is that all people do things that are congruent for them to do. They are consistent. They have integrity. If you look inside when they open their mouths to tell you about it, it's possible you'll be able to find out what their sense is, what their logic is, what their congruence is, and therefore be able to relate to it. 32 is a wonderful idea that when you listen to a human speak, you are actually kind of like in the stands looking in on their validity, on their sense. I like to even sit and look in the stands at, a soccer game, and I watch the people's faces and I can see what they're thinking, or looking in on what their thinking is and what their process is. I like to think of humans as little sense-making machines wandering around on the face of the earth. 33. Pushing and persuading is a form of invalidation. If you take a look at what validation is, which is seeing another person's point of view, and prevalidation, which is the assumption that they do have a point of view and their point of view makes sense for them, then pushing someone begins with the assumption that your point of view is better than theirs. Persuading starts with the assumption that your point of view is better for them than theirs is.
And not only are you making that assumption, but you're doing it before you find out what their point of view is.
You're in a place to know what's good for you, but you're not in a place to know what's good for them. And therefore, pushing or persuading starts with an act of invalidating the other person. If you want to go into the act of changing somebody's behavior, you start by understanding their validity and then give them data that will help them change their point of view. 34. I often say this to people who are in the process of talking about divorcing. I actually support them in divorcing, but I tell them to divorce the old relationship, divorce the way they're getting along with each other, divorce the habits and the skills they've been displaying towards each other, but don't necessarily get rid of your partner. So the sign is, divorce that old relationship, don't divorce your partner. 35. Fighting in a marriage or a relationship is really hurting them until they love you, and it never works. I'm really referring to the power struggle. Power struggle is characterized by the behavior of causing distress for the other person with the goal of getting them to like you and to love you, to go back to the way they were when you fell in love with them. And so you're actually using the behavior of a baby who, when it doesn't get food, screams at a pitch to get what it wants. And you're doing the same thing as an adult now, when of course it never works. If you scream at someone to get what you want, or the best you can get is they'll do it but resent you, the worst you get is they'll just do the opposite. 36. This has to do with mirroring and listening. Interruptions are a kind of slap right to the soul. When somebody starts to speak, they're really sharing their validity, their self, and their soul, and it's coming out in a kind of a sequence in time through their words. And when you interrupt, it's like smacking them right in the face. So learn not to interrupt. 37. It isn't what you intend that counts. It is all about how you come across. This is a relationship concept, that if you intend something, but it doesn't come across that way, then nothing's happened. The goal is to come across. And I worked with a man once who intended to love his wife and did a whole series of things out of love for his wife. But his wife was not in a mood to pick up love at that point, and therefore it didn't go across. And the principle in the relationship is, he didn't really want to send love. What he really wanted was for her to receive love. You'll see this principle in my definition of mirroring and my definition of validation. I define mirroring as anything you do that makes a person feel heard. And I define validation as anything you do that makes a person feel understood. Again, it's how it comes across. 38. Would you rather hear your partner's thoughts or have them keep secrets from you? Take your pick. I think I ask this one over and over again. When people come to me and they are basically keeping secrets from each other, they're basically not saying things because they don't want to upset their partner. I often share with them this question. Would you rather share with your partner what you're thinking? Do you think they want you to keep secrets? Because the choice is not to have it there or not have it there. The choice is to share it or to keep it hidden. I sometimes say to one partner, what do you think your partner would prefer? If you're thinking something, and you think this thing you're thinking might upset them, do you think your partner would rather you share it anyway? Or do you think your partner would rather you keep it a secret? And then I ask their partner, what do you think? Almost all people would say, I'd rather hear it. I'd always rather hear it. But I'd like to hear it nicely. And of course, this runs in the face of the cultural rule that if you can't say anything nice, don't say anything, which of course I believe is a form of insanity. Much better to always say it, even if you can't say it right. 39. Learn to take delight in other people's differences. This is an extension of prevalidation. To really love it when somebody says they're different than you, when they share they're different, when they say they hate that movie right after you loved it, be delighted by that. Because one thing they're doing is they're giving you a gift of their uniqueness and their difference, and they're not lying to you. They're not keeping their difference secret. And so they're improving the connection between you by not keeping secrets. I was once told a story about a teacher. There were three kids who walked into the classroom, and one kid came up and put an apple on her desk, and one kid walked in and sat down in a chair, and the third kid came in and walked up and spit on the teacher's shoes. And the question the teacher said is, which one of these three kids could you trust? And the answer, of course, was the one who spit on your shoes. Only if somebody is sharing their differences can you be sure what they're saying. Item 40. Choose door number 1, door number 2, door number 3. Either vintage love, giving up, or just going for divorce. And this, of course, is the one simple choice point in the map of relationships.